Well, if you have your Bible this morning, who has their Bible? Amen. I like what Brother John Osteen says, hold it up, wave it around, make the devil nervous. Amen. You know, but just having a copy of the Word of God is not going to do anything. You have to get it on the inside of you. I remember growing up, we had a Bible that when Pastor Ronnie says it is big enough to choke a moose, it literally was. It was about this thick, and I can't tell you what color the original color was. It was about the color of a piece of furniture, just kind of a off brown or whatever. But man, that thing was big. I mean, if somebody walked in, you could just knock them out with that thing, you know. But just having that Bible sitting there never affected anybody in the house. Oh, it's so wonderful, you know. So let's dust it off or whatever. But it's when you get the Bible on the inside of you that things change. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your people. Thank you that every ear is anointed to hear. And as we share the Bible this morning, Lord, let religious tradition come off. Let the scales of tradition come off and let the reality of the supernatural live in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, our lives as believers should be supernatural. Now, if you name the name of Jesus as your Lord, whether you realize it or not, you already are living a supernatural life compared to those in the world. And the Bible tells us that we should live on a different plane. Why? Because we have a supernatural God. We are part of a supernatural church. Now, I'm not just talking about this church locally, but also the church universal. How many know that this little location, when I say little location, like one location here, is not all of the body of Christ? There are many from all types of backgrounds, tribes, tongues, nations that all make up the one body of Christ. But we're part of a supernatural church. And God has given us supernatural equipment. Amen. That's one thing I'm so excited that when the Lord calls you to do something, who senses the call of God on your life? You know, to some degree or not. God, whomever he calls, he equips. And so he gives us the supernatural equipment. That's why 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 says this. Well, let me just turn over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 10. Well, these pages are sticking together. Okay. He says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, that word carnal also means natural. So how many know that your warfare is not machine guns? This is a spiritual battle. And that's why last week we talked about that. We talked about fight the good fight of faith. Well, if you're going to be in a fight, it must be a battle. Else, why would you fight if there is no battle in life? But he tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now, of course, this is the main fight that we have is in our mind, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against principalities, powers, dominion, every name that is named. And so he says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know that that's the real true spiritual warfare? You know, a lot of people get enamored with spiritual warfare and they want to yell at the devil or they want to, you know, slap somebody upside the head or something, you know, thinking it's, they want to cast the devil out of somebody and that is right. But the biggest spiritual warfare is between your ears. And so the greatest spiritual warfare is going to be in your mind and fighting the good fight of faith, and which also includes crucifying your flesh. How many know that that's part of living a supernatural life? So our weapons are not carnal. They're not natural. So when we're talking about living a supernatural life, it should be natural for the believer. You know, it shouldn't be something odd. Amen. When fish swim in water, that's not an odd thing to them. That's their natural realm. The supernatural should be the believer's natural realm. Amen. Because I'm born again of a supernatural God. The supernatural is the believer's natural realm, walking in this realm. So I want to share for just a few minutes about living a supernatural life. Now, when we say supernatural, you know, some people think of, you know, years ago you have all these 1-900 numbers on TV or whatever, you know, and, you know, speak to Sister Sylvia. She's going to, you know, call this psychic and whatever, you know. But that's not what we're talking about. But, you know, that is super. How many know that that is supernatural, but it's not of God? One of the things we have to differentiate is this. Not everything supernatural is of God. You know, people can play with the occult, and they can do things with Ouija boards, and they can do stuff. The devil, that's why the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. That's why you don't want to put out a fleece. You don't want to say, well, God, if that's really you speaking to me, then I want you to have 2 blue Camaros come down the road. First of all, I've never even seen a blue Camaro in Dickinson, so it definitely would be God. But here's the thing. The devil can work out in this realm too. So that's why you want to be led by the Holy Spirit and not led by the outside. People do this. Well, Lord, if you really want me to take that job, then you open the door. Or Lord, if you don't want me to take it, just close the door. So people just, things happen. Well, it must not have been God. When, you know, there can be things sometimes the Lord wants you to go through and it has a padlock on it. And you say, God, he says, just believe me for this. You go through that door. Sometimes, well, I mean, we face many challenges here, you know. And so just because something looks like it's closed, most of the time it looks that way. But you just listen for the word of the Lord and go follow that. So the believer is not just a natural being. He's a spirit being. Now, you know, it's interesting when you look at in the book or in the Hebrew language, what is man? God made man a living soul. It actually says this, a speaking spirit. As much as I like my dog Buddy, he's not a speaking spirit. He'll never talk back to me. I mean, he's a pretty good dog, you know, and he'll bark and he'll roll around in the snow and he'll do all kinds of stuff. But I think he knows some things I'm saying, but he's not going to respond back. But why? Because he's not a speaking spirit. But you and I have the privilege. We are a speaking spirit. And so that's why our words are so important. Why? Because God gives us to speak on task and on purpose, that we're supposed to use our words to accomplish something. So I'm a speaking spirit. It's that way, whether you like it or not, so you might as well take advantage of it and speak according to God's word, because that's who I am. Amen. I know who I am, walking in power, walking in victory. Yep. Amen. That's who we are. Thank you, Lord. So this is what separates Christianity from every religion. Yep. Because we have a living Christ. Yep. With signs and wonders. Yes. And you know, the gospel is proof of the resurrection. And the resurrection is the proof of the gospel. You could say it both ways. No other person is alive. I don't care if you look at Muhammad, Confucius, any other person. Hare Krishna, like one person said, who would want to have a God whose name was first name was Harry? But Hare Krishna. But anyway, all these different people are supposedly gods or supposedly people that, you know, have their own religion. But none of them are alive today. Now, their spirit is, yes, of course, but their body, they're not walking around. Jesus is in a, he's the only one. He's in a flesh and bone body at the right hand of God the Father, where he's praying for us right now. He's interceding for us. He's in the, standing in the gap for us. Hallelujah. So as we talk about this, it's important to understand not only for our life as a believer, but understanding, first of all, that we serve a supernatural God. The whole life of Jesus was supernatural. The Bible says he was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father. And if you don't believe that, then that's an absolute you cannot compromise on. You can't say, well, you know, I mean, there's preachers that believe that. What about folk like that? They're not saved. I don't care if they're a preacher or not. But Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He performed miracles in his ministry. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 2 that at the wedding of Cana, he performed his first miracle. And why is that important we understand? Because people think, they need to understand this. Jesus was not performing miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon him. You know, if you read apocryphal writings, which I don't recommend that you do that, but the Apocrypha and different extra writings, you know, they claim that, you know, Jesus healed, you know, raised up dead birds and healed his little friends when he was a little boy. But if you believe the Bible, you can't believe that. Because the Bible says that was his first miracle at the wedding of Cana. So what does that mean? When the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he received power. Now, he did not speak in other tongues. That was only after he ascended. Because that's actually two of the gifts we do not see in the Old Testament. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. But nonetheless, the power of God was on him. And if Jesus needed power, then you and I need power. If Jesus needed to pray, then you and I need to pray. If you ever just feel like, you know, you've arrived, just think about Jesus. He prayed all night many times. And he didn't have any of the hindrances that we have. And he didn't have his past. And he didn't have, you know, different things that we fight through. But he still needed to pray. So Jesus performed these miracles after he was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And what happened after 40 days and nights of fasting? We see that he was tempted of the devil. You know, isn't that amazing? That Jesus, right after he fasted 40 days and night, you would think he'd walk on water or something. You think the next person he'd see is God and he'd just walk on to the heavenlies. The next person he sees is the devil. So, you know, don't think, well, you know, I've just been really close to God and the devil's going to leave me alone forever now. He's going to be the next one to see you. He's going to be knocking at your door. So realize this, that Jesus, the Bible says he resisted the devil. Now, how did he resist the devil? It is written. How do you and I conquer the devil? It is written. Now, do we just say, oh God, please make the devil leave me alone? Oh God, please make... No, he tells us, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. You resist. So that means I fight the good fight of faith. I resist the devil. I say no in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 4:27 says this, neither give place to the devil. Now, if you didn't have authority over him, then you could not keep from giving him place. But since God told us that don't give him place, then that means I have authority over him. So what happened, though, after this? Now, this is good news. Who's ever felt that the weight of temptation? You feel like the pull of the flesh. Every one of us have. And you just feel that. See, that's the way the flesh is. It's just, it has a pull to it. It has a pulling and it draws people. The devil tries to lure people. And that's why we give him no place. We start, you know, if there's things that are bothering you, there's a pull on you, then do whatever it takes to get the victory. You know, let those things, starve those things in your life. You know, ask God to help you. And what happens is it closes the door on the enemy. When we don't provide any place for him in the flesh. And so Jesus, when he resisted, and he resisted, notice what happened. It said the angels came and ministered to him. And the Bible says he returned, not weak, but in the power of the Spirit. So here's the good news. If you resist the devil, he's going to flee. And what's going to happen is you're going to come out in the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. Amen. So we see also that Jesus, talking about his supernatural life, he died and he was buried. But after 3 days and nights, what happened? He was resurrected. And so that's something that's an absolute too that we cannot compromise on. So we realize that is the supernatural element of Jesus. Then we see this. Jesus showed himself to his disciples with many infallible proofs. Talking about a supernatural God, and Jesus would just show up. You know, they'd be having supper right there on the seashore. And then Jesus said, "Children, you have any meat?" And then they realize, oh, it's Jesus. Then he disappears. You know, they're talking, and then he just shows up, and then he just goes. See, that's what the Bible says, what kind of body that we are going to have. I mean, no, that's good news. This body. Now, some people say, well, you know, I can't wait to get rid of this body. You know, I can't wait to get rid of it. But, you know, it's actually this body glorified. Otherwise, why would he resurrect it? If it was some other new body, then why wouldn't he just discard this one? It's going to be this body glorified. But let me tell you, once the glory of God hits this body, you'll be very happy with it. Yeah. Amen. We'll never have to be concerned about dieting again. Never have to be concerned about all kinds of things. Someone said hallelujah. Amen. You can go where you want to. Show up. Basically, what happened to your spirit when you got born again is going to happen to your body. Amen. It's going to actually be able to keep up with your spirit. And so Jesus, though, he showed himself to his disciples. He showed himself to the 500, it said. And then the Bible says he ascended up to heaven where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And the angel said this. They said that this same Jesus, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is going to come back in like manner. So we know that Jesus is coming back, that his return is imminent, and we have to be ready. So Jesus was supernatural, but what about us as believers? We have to be supernatural, live supernatural lives. And you know, when you say that, the thoughts come in people's minds, supernatural. Well, first thought, people think, man, that sure isn't me. You know, I'm just a ordinary person. Well, we all have limitations in the flesh, but we can live an overcoming life. We can live by the power of the Holy Ghost. And don't sell yourself short. See, people do that. See, people believe the lie. Well, you know, we're just a man and you know, we just sin all the time and, you know, you just sin every day. You don't have to. You can go days and days and weeks and months and not sin. Now, I just heard that religious cow just rear its head just there because people believe the lie that, you know, I just can't help it. I can't do it. No, you can get to the place where you build your, that's why you build your spirit man up. You get stronger and stronger and the flesh gets weaker and weaker. In fact, you can build your spirit man up to the point where it intimidates your flesh. Instead of your flesh intimidating your spirit, hey, we want to do this. And you, way down deep in your spirit, no, don't do it. You can get to the place where you build your spirit up and your flesh just says, hey, you think we can do this? No. Shut up. Okay, just thought I'd ask. You know, that's the way it is. You intimidate your flesh. I believe Paul did. He got it. He had his flesh intimidated. That's why he said, I keep my body under. So I want to give you at least four evidences of a supernatural life. Four evidences of a supernatural life. And actually four different, we could say it like this, four different vehicles to live, different avenues to live a supernatural life. Number one, the new birth. How many know the new birth is supernatural? So the Bible tells us when we are born again. How many remember Nicodemus? The Bible talks about he appeared at night to Jesus. And you know, he's talking to Jesus. He said, you know, master, teacher, no one can do this except you be of God. And he's starting to, you know, trying to, you know, pat Jesus on the back. Jesus totally flips it around and says, you must be born again. Totally flipped on him. And he said, how can I enter my mother's womb? You know, once he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So what are we talking about? We are spirit beings. Our spirit man is reborn. There's a recreation. Other translations say that a new species that never before existed. So that's why we have to make the decision to live a supernatural life and live. Everything's been furnished for us to do that. Now, how many remember Paul talking to the Corinthians? He says, you are carnal. Carnal. That just means flesh ruled, body ruled. And he said, you know what? You walk as mere men, M-E-R-E, mere men. That means like ordinary man that had never been born again. So that's something that can happen if we do not allow the Spirit of God to control us, to lead us and guide us, and to let our flesh be subdued. We can walk just like anyone, just like Joe Sinner's never been born again. I know that's a sad testimony, but it can happen. So we have to crucify the flesh, mortify the deeds of the body. Can you say amen? Amen. So when you get into the family of God, you're not joining a church. You know, we never, you know, come up and join our church today and you'll go straight to heaven. You can join every church and not make it to heaven. It's not about joining a church, it's about joining a family. And how do you get into this family? The same way in the natural family. You're born into it. You're born into it. And so you're born of the Spirit of God. And so our supernatural life starts with a supernatural birth, spiritually. And what happens is this. We partake of the Father, our Father God, His nature, and we're born of God. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but 1 John 4, verse 4 tells us this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about all those evil spirits in the first four verses, the first three verses. He says, you've overcome them because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So who is the he that's in within me? God, the Spirit of God. Who is he that's in the world? The devil. So greater is he that is within me. God is bigger than the devil, is what he's saying. You know, a lot of people think that God and the devil are just like this, and they're just like, you know, two big football players, and they're just, one's going to give, you know. The unstoppable force, you know, the immovable object meeting each other. But it's not like that. It's not even a contest. Because the devil's already been defeated. The only contest is in people's minds. And so that's why he says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I am of God. Now see, I've never done a study. I've really never been interested in it. But I've never, you know, done a thorough history of my family. And maybe some people, they really like that, but I don't need to go back too far. I don't really want to go back too far. I mean, I think I saw this, like when my mom passed away, I saw a little bit of the family tree that I'd never seen before. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But how many know, it doesn't matter who's in your family or where your natural family, the only thing that really matters is who's your spiritual family. You know, the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now is what family were you in? Were you in the family of God or the family of the devil? Right. It's very interesting. Jesus told these religious people, you know, they thought they were everything and they thought they were doing something good. And they said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I'm sure they almost swallowed their teeth just about that moment. But he said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you're going to do. And so we actually partake of the divine nature of God. So, you know, that's why I can't make myself good. But when the nature of God came into my life, now I know some of you weren't even born this time, but 1992, back in the last century, the Spirit of God came on the inside of me. And I remember conviction came upon me. I had heard the word and, you know, I had heard the Bible. But then that night, the Holy Ghost met me. And I shook like a leaf, you know, and I was just like, my heart was beating and I've never had any physical problems. But I just knew like, oh man, I just got, what's happening? It's getting hot in here, you know, it's just like my blood pressure was rising real quick. Well, it's the Spirit of God was dealing with me. And I went forward and received Jesus and never been the same since. So that's the beginning of our supernatural life. Then number two, not only are we born again, but then Jesus says this. He says, don't go until you be endued with power from on high. That word endued is clothed. Now, just like this morning, when you put on your jacket, your coat or whatever, your shirt, you are clothed upon. Well, the Bible tells us we're clothed with power. If there's any day that Christians need power, it's now. We need power from on high. And not just, well, you know, brother, I spoke in tongues. Well, that doesn't mean that you're full. You can speak in tongues this morning, but you're not full. Right. Amen. So what happens is we have to be filled up. Amen. And I'll say this. I mean, I'll say it. I've used this illustration several times, and I think it's a good one, so I'll just say it again. You know, it's like the one brother, you know, that he left and stole the money from the church, and he went and took the lady who was playing the organ and ran off with her. And they said, now this is just a parable, so it's not, but it can definitely happen. I don't know. It could have been the real story the first time. But anyway, took the money and said, you know, hey, did you hear about so-and-so, brother so-and-so? You know, he took the building fund offering and the organist. And he's a spirit-filled individual. Not that day he wasn't. Why? Because being spirit-filled is not just a one-time thing. It's a constant experience that we have. Yes. So you could say that, you know, well, you know, my wife and I, we get along well. Or you can say my friend and I, or you know, any relationship, you know, you can look at it and think, well, you know, maybe you haven't, well, I've got a friend in this place and you haven't talked to him in 20 years. Well, maybe they would still talk to you, but it's the same thing with the Lord. You have to have constant fellowship. Well, you know, I prayed like 13 years ago. Yeah. Well, what about now? What's your relationship with Jesus now? Yeah. Amen. Living on stale manna, you know, that's people living on past blessings is living on stale manna. Well, you know, I had Pizza Ranch 3 years ago. Haven't eaten anything since then. Well, you're a skeleton then. You got to feed yourself. So he tells us, in Luke 3:16, look over in Luke 3:16 real quickly. Now this is John the Baptist. John said, I'm a Baptist, but after me is coming a Pentecostal. John 3:16. John answered, saying to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Notice he says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. With the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So we were talking about this yesterday. Wayne was talking about this. And if you love Jesus, then you're going to love his word. If you love the word of God, you love Jesus. The same thing, everything Jesus stands for. Jesus, not only we love Jesus, but Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. It's not a denomination. It's not a church thing. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He said, you cannot go until you have this power. You cannot leave until you have this. Until you be endued and clothed with power from on high. And he said, and then, of course, I don't know what they were looking for. I don't know if they were looking for Who are you? Are you the Holy Spirit? Are you the Holy Spirit? Are you the Holy Spirit? I mean, what are they expecting? They didn't know that it was going to be, you know, a wind that came in that room and shook them up. It shook them up so much. I mean, think about the people that left at quarter till nine. They said, you know, nothing's happened over here. You know, let's go over to the broken egg and get an omelet over there. And, you know, let's just go and go to Country Rose and get something. And about 9:15, they see all these people rocking and reeling in the streets, and they think, what happened to you? What do you mean? Well, we got hungry, so we left. And, I mean, you see this great number of people, but there's only 120 left on the day of Pentecost. But it said they went rocking and reeling in the streets, and the people saw him and said, you know, what meaneth this? You know, what's all this? What meaneth this? And Peter, and they said, these men are drunk on new wine. They said they were mocking. They're just full of new wine. Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Didn't say they weren't drunk, but he said, not like you think they are. Right. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, how many know that if Jesus said we have to have this, then we need to have it? We can't go along without having the Holy Ghost. So every apostle and disciple was interested in people being filled with the Holy Spirit. This experience is for all people of all time. That's why the Bible says, as many as the Lord our God shall call, all those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so what is this experience for? To give us power. Yep. To build us up spiritually. Yep. And to help us to pray for things as we should. Yep. You know, many times of things that we have no knowledge of. How do you pray for things that you don't know what to pray for as you ought? You pray in the Holy Spirit. Yep. What do you say, Lord, I've prayed about this. And Lord, I don't really know. I mean, just even as we've had people here in the church that have had different things happen, as we were just sharing a few minutes ago. How do you pray for somebody that you don't know what to pray for? I mean, we know with the word, Lord, I just thank you for the healing power, God, that. But there's many different things. There's many different factors. There's many different things that we don't know. So then you just trust. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now to give me utterance in the Holy Ghost, and I trust you. And you know, that is a language of heaven. How many know that's supernatural? I know when I used to cuss and fuss that I never did. I know some people don't imagine me cussing, but I wasn't real, you know, like some people are real proficient. They can rhyme in their cussing, But I did. I mean, I was just like, it was my natural speech. But when the Holy Ghost came on the inside of me, I mean, I never did speak in tongues back then. But the Lord gave me a new tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's a supernatural way to live. And I can tell you this, when the flesh tries to pull on you, because it always will, what you need to do something that's going to be stronger. There's two things that I do. There's three things I do. Number one, I just start praising the Lord. When my flesh is wanting me to do something, I just praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Because it gets your mind off of the other thing. Yeah. And it strengthens your inner man. But then you also, you can pray in tongues. It's going to build your spirit. And then you speak the word. Yeah. And I'd always say put the word first, you know. Speak the word first. But just whatever works in that situation, whatever the Holy Ghost is leading you to do. Yeah. And then what happens, you return in the power of the Spirit. So this is a supernatural language. One that you have no knowledge of. So number three, and this leads into this, a supernatural prayer life. You know, I mean, I remember growing up, and to my knowledge, my brother still prays this way. But God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, by his hands we are fed, give us there. I don't even want to finish it because it's been so many years ago. Well, I don't pray that way anymore. And we never prayed the Lord. We never prayed going to bed or anything. So it was nothing that I ever learned, you know. Lord, lay me down to sleep. You know, I don't even know what that prayer is. People talk about, well, yeah, didn't you have all those things in Sunday school? No, I didn't learn anything back then. I think I learned more in Sunday school than I did in the regular church. But that's neither here nor there either. But we're supposed to have a supernatural prayer life. Yep. Now look over real quickly at Romans chapter 8. You know, the reason we talk about these things is because some people think that if you speak in tongues that you're weird. People think if you pray that if you pray and expect results that you're strange. But that's not the way that Christianity should be. If you don't expect results, if you don't follow the Bible pattern, then that's what's odd. Yeah. And so, Romans chapter 8. Says this. In verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, he also helpeth our infirmities. That can also be translated weaknesses. What's one of the weaknesses that we have as a human? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the mind, the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that who they love God. And to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, a lot of people take that out of context. Well, you know, it's like the Bible says, everything works good. That's not what the Bible says. It says for a specific people, for those who love God. How many know that for the world, things are not working out for good? It's not. The Bible says not all men have faith. The wicked not have faith, do not have faith. And so God gives us a supernatural prayer life. He gives the utterance and we do the speaking. Now it's important that we say this because why? Because there's been people, you know, they'll say, if they're in conversation, you know, John, ever since I found out that the Holy Spirit does my praying for me, I don't do much praying anymore. Well, that's not what that verse is saying. How many know that the Holy Spirit is not the one who does it for you? He is your helper. He helps you to pray. So the Holy Ghost doesn't do all your praying for you. Well, the Holy Spirit, he does all my praying for me, so I don't do much anymore. No, he helps you to pray. He helps you to do something. You know, if I said, Chingy, John, you guys come help me. Of course, that's a really light drum set. I can move it by myself. But if I said, hey, just come over here and help me, and I go sit down, then what should they actually do if they're helping me? they should sit down next, you know, over there too. And so that's a lot of times what people say when they say, Lord, help me. They really say, Lord, just do it for me. But, you know, even with habits and different things, we make the decision, Lord, I don't want this in my life, and I ask you to help me. And we cut things off, and what happens is the Lord helps us, and he delivers us. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. And then number four, I said four, there's five, but this is number four. We have supernatural weapons. We have supernatural weapons. Now that's the verse we just read in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Notice what he says, the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal, they're not natural. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now I want to give you just a couple different weapons that we have. Number one, praise and worship. Whether you realize it or not, praise and worship is not just natural. That's why we're not just up here just to, you know, well, we got 30 minutes or 28 minutes or whatever, that we just got to fill in the time slot here. No, it'd be better for us just to sing one song and really press into that one song for 5 or 6 minutes. And people get something. That's why it's better if I just give you 2 points and you get it than give you 40 and they just go over your head. But praise and worship. Now, if you study out the Bible, especially like 2 Chronicles, the Bible talks about the armies of God arrayed against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says that they sought the Lord and God told them and gave them the answer. That's why you don't want to just assume, well, God did it this way before. So you ask the Lord, Lord, what are we doing in this situation? Should I do this or do this? He says, put the singers in the front. Now, I don't know if they had three-part harmony or what they had going on. If it was all in unison, and like they were just marching, and they just, you left, right, left. I don't know if they were just doing a cadence like that. And anyway, but what they did is they began to sing and to praise. And it said when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. And the Lord actually caused one of those armies to go against the other two. And then once they were killed off, they fought each other. And the Bible says there was so much spoil left, it took 3 days in gathering up the spoils. So that came through praise and worship. So that is supernatural. That's why, like Brother Osteen, John Osteen, pastor of Lakewood Church, he was in an elevator one time, and you had these guys, they were at the top floor up there, and they were having this party and stuff, and he's coming down. And what happened is he, all these guys, they were just cutting up and cussing and, doing all kind of stuff. And so he said, I'm not intimidated. He just lifted his hands. He said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. He said, they all got off on the next floor. Why? Because the devil doesn't like praise and worship. The devil is intimidated by it. Now, I'm not talking about something that's not a lifestyle. This is something that's lifestyle, I mean, that doesn't mean just because somebody's on the job, you don't get right up in their ear, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, it's got to be something that's natural with you, it's got to be something that is a flow. So that's what I'm talking about. some people's evangelism is turn or burn like Pastor said when they were in New York, people would say, you're all going to hell. And, the New Yorkers, they say, well, you can go to hell, That's what they said, because, they didn't care. But that's not the good news, Right. You're going to hell is not good news. But you don't have to. That's the good news. Yeah. So praise and worship. Number two, the word. That's the weapon, one of the weapons we have. Yeah. Number three, the blood. The blood of Jesus. That's why we take communion. And we're going to actually, don't leave early. We're going to take communion today before we go. And then the angels. How many know that they're supernatural? They're not little round babies. They're not fat babies. The Bible calls them warriors. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 people. I mean, he's not anybody to mess with. And so the Bible says this, Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So actually, we have help. Yep. And I know to the world it's not fair, and it's good. It's not supposed to be fair because we have extra help. Yep. Amen. Psalm 103:20 says this, bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength. These are some bad boys here. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So all of these things I can believe for supernatural protection. Yes. Supernatural protection. I think back when the Lord protected me in 11th grade when we rolled in a school bus three times. I remember I needed my glasses. I mean, I don't have a complete healing, so I need my glasses at this moment. And so anyway, my glasses fell off, and I was like, like this, and then look around, But anyway, someone said, Will, are these yours? They had fallen around. I don't know where they were, still in the bus or outside or whatever. I put them on my face. They weren't even bent. And, we kind of thought we were just like some indestructible something, But thank God for the mercy of God that protected us. No one had any fatalities. There was no fatalities. One person broke his leg. My mother was on that trip, and I've shared this before, but she even had a warning from the Lord that she shouldn't go. I wish she would have passed that on to me. But she went because she said she was going to be a chaperone, and she gave her word. And I know some people, the Bible says that the spiritual pilgrim, it says they swear to their own hurt and they change not. But when the Holy Ghost is telling you your life's in danger, then I don't care what word you gave. You say, I'm sorry that I said that. And, but I think I need to do such and such. So anyway, she had two different times that she could have got out of it. Even a friend invited her, but she just had a check in her spirit about it. How many know that's supernatural? Yeah. She didn't have some burning bush that says, thou shalt not go. And, but anyway, she just knew that she shouldn't, but she kept her word. We flipped the school bus. Her head was like soft, like jelly. And by the time she got to the hospital, the Lord had healed her. And they flew her by helicopter. And, but thank God for the angelic host. Amen. And just because you got, the Bible talks about children having their angel that behold the face of their father, talking about God. Well, just because you got older doesn't mean that you lost your angel. And some of you need your angels even more today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we have all of these different things. Thank you, Lord. And I'm running out of time, but real quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, what makes us different as a believer? I'm talking about believers versus unbelievers. Number 5, we have supernatural gifts. Supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Much of the church is ignorant. And he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. I always like how he says that. The Bible says that they don't speak, they don't hear. The Bible in Isaiah talks about how foolish it is to have these idols. He says, people make... they cut down a tree, they make firewood, and the other part of it, they make a god. Oh, some of the firewood is my god, and some is my to burn firewood. And so he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, the reason they say that is because in church history, it tells us that people would stand up and say, Jesus is accursed. Well, anything that would say that is the wrong spirit. That's what he's saying. So he says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, anybody can say Jesus is Lord, but what he's saying is this. When the Holy Spirit's in manifestation, Jesus is always going to be made Lord. Not you, not your brother, not your mother, not your best friend, not your denomination, but Jesus is always going to be lifted up. Hallelujah. Now he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, or as the Amplified says, special faith. Because this is not just your ordinary Bible faith. Right. This is something supernatural by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. To another. So I want you to notice he says to another. That means that not everyone's going to have the same gift. To another, this one's given. To another, the gifts of healing. Now, in the original language, that word, both of those words are in the plural. Gifts of healings. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. Notice this. Dividing to every man severally as who wills. As the Holy Spirit wills. And he goes on to talk about the body of Christ after this. So we have supernatural gifts. And the reason why that we have to understand this is because where man runs out is where God starts. Do you know that the gifts of healings is not medical science? A lot of people think, well, thank God, you know, we have the Bible, but now, you know, we have doctors. Thank God for doctors. But they're not the healer. You know, if you had an operation, that operation did not heal you. That operation cut you up. But it's after the operation that the healing begins. Maybe they took out something that was inflamed or whatever. But when the healing happened is when they sewed you up and the power of God started working. That's where the healing was. So Jesus is the healer. And so that is something that is, you know, people think is so, they think when they read that that's medical science. But it's not. That's supernatural. When he talks about a word of knowledge, that's not, you know, because you studied a lot. That's something you had no idea, but you suddenly, by the Spirit of God, you had a revelation. Yep. And you either have a revelation or you don't. Yep. So all of these are supernatural. Yep. So why is this important? Because I believe that in the day we're living, the Holy Ghost will give us everything that we need. If I need to know something, he'll give me a word of wisdom. Yep. Don't do that. Don't go in that direction. Go do this. Naaman the leper, what happened to him? The Bible says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Now, that wasn't what he was expecting. You know, Lord, there's better rivers over in my country. That muddy place, you know, why would I go do that? But guess what? He would have done without. But finally, thankfully, he had the sense to go and dip 7 times. He came up and his flesh was healed. Why did God do it like that? I don't know. Why did Jesus make spit of the clay? I mean, if you heard somebody, you know, making all those sounds for spit, you know, and it, you know, it takes a little bit to make a clay, you know. It's not just a little spit. I mean, what if you're in that healing line? You'd think, oh, Lord. But you have to do what he says to do. The key to miracles is whatever he tells you to do, do it. Lord, I need help in my financial situation. Okay. Then pray. Have you prayed about it? Lord, what do I do in this situation? He might tell you to quit spending in a certain area. I mean, no, that's like bandaging up the wound right there. There's just a wound that's going out with money. But the Lord says, quit spending that, save this, give this, do this. Yeah. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. But all of these are supernatural. And so what I want you to know is our life, and I've said this before, you know, a lot of people think that when we talk about the supernatural things of God, that it was for a rare group of people. But every person that we see that wrote the epistles, every one of those people were spirit-filled. They were tongue talkers. And they wrote the letters to people who spoke in tongues. So it's not like today where it's a debate like, you know, we haven't even heard of this or whatever. This is the natural life of the believer. What does God expect for the believer? Number one, that people get born again. Yeah. Number two, that people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, yeah, speaking other tongues. Number three, that they grow up. Amen. I like how we've said before, like this, others have said, you know, if you just have the word only, what's going to happen? You'll dry up. If you just have the spirit only and no word, then you're going to blow up. You're just going to be, you know, floating around somewhere. But if you have the word and the spirit, you're going to grow up. And so God wants us to grow up, and he wants us to live not just a natural life, but a supernatural life empowered by the Holy Ghost, that if I don't know what to do, then the Lord's going to quicken me. He's going to give me an answer. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to find out. You know, if the Lord has to translate me. Now, here Philip, he's preaching, and then he finds himself at Azotus, and I've heard 90 miles away. I've heard 26 miles. Either way, it's a trek. You know, it's either you running from here to Richardson or running to Bismarck. But that was by the Spirit of God. The Lord translated him, and he was in another place. So all of these things, we want to believe God that they would happen today.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And so that's why we have to teach about these things. We have to stir ourselves up. Yes. That man and miracles, that God created us to live in a supernatural realm. Not just a, you know, if we need provision, then we go fishing. Yep. And the first coin that comes out.
Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you today for all your provision. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us, Lord, that we are called to live supernatural lives. Lives anointed of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I thank you that right now that by your Spirit, Lord, we walk in the wisdom of God. We walk in the anointing of God. And Lord, we thank you right now for a supernatural touch upon our lives. That Lord, the anointing would be evident upon each person in this place. Lord, let fresh oil from heaven be poured out even now. Lord, I thank you for a fresh wind. A fresh wind of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we are not ashamed of you. You're welcome to do all that you would want to do. Because no one's more important than you are. Jesus, Father, there's no one more important than you are. So we honor you. And we bless you. We glorify you.